The only returns that had this data captured were those that were reporting at least 50% of their total wages in Oregon. We're trying to get Oregon corporations doing this.
And some of them probably are relatively small corporations where all they have is employees, maybe officers. So
that
you're law firms, you know, you think of manufacturing. I tend to think as manufacturing as corporations. But that's just not true.
That's right.
And so you have many of those corporations that are officer heavy, and their hope of building up equity or value in assets like a building or something like that, and drawing enough a good salary plus another expenses, so they want to pay this tax is probably the main.
Sure.
Okay. We have another shadow that entered the room. Representative Stevenson, do you want to testify? Or commissioner?
No longer representative, thank you.
I'm sorry, you got an increase in pay and a better title. Is there anything else you need?
Well,
yeah, no. The answer is no.
I can tell you the revenue sharing proposal.
Yeah.
You're asking
answer is no, out of order.
No, I just stopped to say hello.
It's good to see you again. Okay.
Well, on those credits, about the only thing I'll mention is on the inventory credit, there's a personal property tax credit that in past years has been worth quite a bit of money. This is going to be decreasing over time. So we aren't taxing inventories anymore, so there's not going to be as much of an offset. Pollution control credits are increasing quite a bit. And from some of the projections I've seen, that's going to be a pretty big money item, and I believe it's part of the governor's package to modify the pollution control credit.
To get them
5% is down to 4%. So
to move that down?
Yes, to increase revenues from the state. But Terry Drake and Steve Meyer will be talking to you shortly about the governor's proposals. You got the jobs tax credit, which is very little money's been spent on that. The economic development lagging areas credit, it says 452. It had only started after the 1977 session, so this is. These numbers are going to be deceptive for the jobs and for the lagging areas credit. 79 and 80 returns ought to show a larger increase. That's the main part of the form. The middle is really just for your small business corporations. A lot of them won't be paying any corporate tax. You know, a small business corporation has special rules where they have the advantages of being a corporation, but yet they put all the money out to individuals versus taxes personal income.
Sub S.
Yeah, sub S, isn't it? And then I don't think you're probably not all that interested in the bottom. I talked about the tax year beginning and the ages of these corporations. And it's pretty self-explanatory. We have a section there showing where it was incorporated, where it's domiciled, and where the addresses of the corporation. And then we also wanted to get a feel for the returns of loss carryforwards to know how this is going to affect future revenues. It's important for income projections. As I said before, this isn't really a document prepared for the public. This is something that the Department of Revenue research section has put out. And we use it, and I thought you'd like to get a feel for how many corporations there are of what size. But that's all.
Senator McFarland?
I seem to have a fixation back here, but you know, it occurs to me that if they do indeed have property in Oregon, then while we don't get it on the corporate income tax, maybe we get it on the property tax.
Sure.
So that it might level out, so that so that it's neither favorable nor unfavorable.
Depending on where the building is, they might wish they could pay more corporate.
Yeah, but that might be a factor.
Well, unless they just purchased a small piece of property for the purposes of getting on the the triple instead of the double.
But still.
Sure, if they legitimately own significant amounts of property and that's part of their business is owning property and so on, then that factor probably makes sense. I'm sure it's very critical to have the property factor in when you're dealing with property intensive businesses, but I can still see where it could be abused by certain businesses, maybe insurance companies or something, where property ownership is not an integral part of their business.
I'm inclined to agree with you, but I just thought.
And I'd just like to know, you know, whether it is or whether it isn't.
But be sure and include in that computation, the offset of the property tax.
Okay. Any more questions on the corporate excise and income taxes? Okay, fine. Thank you very much. Steve Meyer, talk to us about the highway fund. It's
We still have a highway fund.
My intention to Steve, if we can, to finish the highway fund, but not go into the governor's proposals until tomorrow.
That's fine. About how much time do you have yet?
About a half hour.
That's 35, 40 minutes.
That's
plenty. Steve Meyer, Legislative Revenue Office. In your packet, you have a little report called Overview of Highway Revenues. This is what I want to basically just go over this afternoon. There'll be a couple of charts in it that I'll refer you to. Other than that, you can kind of ignore it. But what I want to do is basically just look at where the revenues are coming from and how much, not what the end use of those revenues are. Make a few references to that, but that's not the primary purpose. We want to look at federal revenues a little bit. We want to look at the state-generated highway revenues and then talk a little bit about evaluating who should pay how much of those revenues, and then also talk a little bit about the highway fund. For this biennium, 79-81, there's going to be, well, roughly it's still an estimate, about $881 million in highway either taxes, fees, or transfers from the federal government coming into the state. Of that, almost half, or $433 million, is going to be from the federal government. So we want to keep in mind just how important that source of funds is. The feds get their money primarily from a 4 cents gas tax and diesel fuel tax paid by Oregonians when they buy gas also, and then there's various excise taxes that the federal government imposes. All of that revenue goes into the Federal Highway Trust Fund. And then to get that to the various states, there's several formulas that the federal government uses depending upon the type of highway. There's formula for the interstate system, for the rural road system, urban system, and secondary system, etc. Each of those have their own formula. And I have one example here for the primary highway system. The formula uses 2/9 of the state's area ratio, 2/9 of the state's rural population ratio, and 2/9 of the ratio of the state's mileage of rural delivery and intercity mail routes. And I'm not sure why that's a factor, but anyway, it is. So you have these various factors in the various formulas. For that particular example, for 1980, Oregon received 1.42% of the total money available to be distributed on that formula. Right? And that compares somewhat favorably to Oregon's population as a percent of the U.S. population.
What is it?
It's about 1.15%.
In other words, we get a little more than our share.
Based on population alone, yes.
Not necessarily. We're the 10th largest. We're the 10th largest geographic state with a, spanning highway system.
That, okay. Other factors.
Yeah. Probably we were behind. If there was a formula to add the number of miles of road with population and putting that all, maybe we're right on, but I would guess a little behind.
But you'd have to take into consideration all of the formulas, but just like this one, it uses the state's rural population. If it used state total population, that would, since we're growing faster than most states, that would be beneficial.
Chairman, could I ask this question while I think about it? From your studies, are the diesel taxes and the gasoline taxes about the same per mile traveled? Both on state and federal.
Per mile traveled?
Yeah.
Well, the feds have the same rate. Right, they have 4 cents on the gas and 4 cents on diesel.
Well, but that's not fair then, because diesel would go further.
If you're talking about the same type of vehicle, yes.
How about Oregon's?
Well, we'll get to that, but the intent would be, yes, that it would be the same.
Our present intent is that it would be the same.
Yes. Right, we receive all of this money from the federal government, but there are some strings attached that I suppose we should be aware of. One is that the federal government requires matching state funds for federal funds received. And the second is that there are certain use restrictions as to what the state can do with the federal dollars. For example, on the interstate system, the matching ratio is about 8% state money with 92% federal money. And then for a rural secondary and the urban system, as well as the primary system, the matching ratio is about 22% state and 78% federal. So we have these requirements, and then the federal funds can only be used for construction and reconstruction of roads, not maintenance. So that is a use restriction.
Is there any chance on that change? Excuse me. Go ahead. Is there any chance of that changing so that they allow us to use federal funds for maintenance?
There's discussion of it. I think when Neil Goldschmidt was head of transportation, that he had talked about that. Whether anything will come of it yet, I don't know.
Mr. Chairman, I think that one of the things we might want to do as a committee and perhaps as a legislature is petition Congress to consider raising the federal gas tax and kicking it back to the states and allowing it to be used for maintenance, among other things, or maybe exclusively for maintenance.
There's,
you know, that would be all right. They may raise it at our request, but kicking it back. Okay. You know, for every cent a federal gasoline tax raises, $10 billion. $10 billion, can you imagine?
I would in favor of raising unless they were willing to kick it back.
$10 billion, right?
They're very good at raising money. They're not very good at spending it. They ought to go ahead and do what they do well and let us do what
we
do well.
They spend it all right, but just where they spend it, I don't know.
I think before you did that, too, you might want to look at these formulas more carefully and make sure that they weren't, that they were favorable to begin with and weren't changed in that process.
Right.
But right now, as far as at least I'm told, that if the state's highway tax rates remain the same, that there won't be any problem in terms of the state having enough money to meet its match to receive all of the federal money that would be available to it. And that should remain true for the next biennium, unless there's some change in the matching ratios, and I think there's probably some discussion of that too, requiring more state money on matching with federal money. But again, probably it's just at the discussion stage as far as I know now. Whether anything comes of it soon or not is unknown. So I think right now that those, as far as matching, having state money to match federal, there isn't any problem.
Put that figure, that $881 million total revenues available in perspective. That's roughly what the governor proposes that this legislature appropriate for basic school support alone. And that's not keeping up with inflation. It'd be over $900 million if we kept to the 9% growth formula adopted by the last session. So although that seems like an awful lot of money, I bet when you start paving with asphalt and that sort of thing, it goes very quickly, or building bridges or whatever you do, I bet it's not a lot of money, is what I'm trying to say.
It's not enough, that's for sure.
All right, getting on to state funds, then there's the three primary sources of state revenue. The fuel taxes, which is about 40%, makes up 40% of state-generated user taxes and fees. The weight mile tax, 27%, and then registration, licenses, et cetera, the other 22%. So the fuel tax is the most important, and that's the one that's decreasing, unfortunately. There's two kinds of fuel taxes. Well, first let me mention that the fuel tax is about $178 million for this biennium. That's with the gas tax being at 7 cents per gallon. And there's two kinds of fuel taxes, though. There's the gas tax and there's the use tax. The use tax being on diesel, that only generates about 1% of the total fuel tax revenue, with the gas tax being 99%. The gas tax is collected from the wholesaler. So So whenever the gas leaves the storage tanks for transport to the gas station, a 7 cents per gallon gas tax becomes payable on it. It's collected at the wholesaler, or it's easy to collect at the wholesaler, because virtually all gas is used for on-road purposes. If it's used for off-road purposes, then that gas tax that's been collected is available for refund in most cases. So that if you own a boat or use a lawnmower, gas in a lawnmower, whatever, and keep track of it, you can file for a refund of the 7 cents on the gallons that have been used for off-road purposes. And roughly 2% is refunded for that reason. There's about 190 dealers in Oregon that pay that tax. Of course, some fuel isn't, some of that off-road use is like for airplanes that use gasoline, and that is only subject to a 3% tax that goes to the aeronautics division. That is not part of the highway fund at all. The use tax is basically on diesel cars at 7 cents on diesel fuel, and it has to be paid by the user either at the pump or on the basis of an annual report to the motor vehicles division. That's not collected at the wholesale level just because of the different uses for diesel fuel. It might be used in furnace or tractors, off-road, etc. So that's how the fuel tax is collected, at what rate and from whom. The weight mile tax then, the second major source, is assessed against motor carriers. And that's based upon gross registered weight of the vehicle. That includes the weight of the vehicle plus the maximum load that it's able to carry. So it's a total weight or a gross weight. And the weight mile tax then is based upon carrying that gross weight 1 mile in Oregon. And that's what the distance then and the weight that it's based upon. If you look at the tables on page 6, table 2, you have the weight mile and flat fee schedules on the following page. But I want to point out a couple of things about this table. You'll notice that there's table A for gas engines and table B for diesel engines, and that they're not the same. You have the declared combined weight there on the extreme left. Note that as the weight increases, the fee increases in both for both gas and diesel. As the weight of the vehicle increases, its responsibility for paying more for the use of the road increases, just because the damage done by that heavier vehicle tends to be greater. You can read this table. It's in mils per mile. If you move the decimal place one digit to the left, you can convert it to cents per mile, so that at the bottom of the page, for example, the 76 to 78,000 pound vehicle, gas says 40 mils, that would be 4 cents per mile. And then on the diesel, it'd be 6.4 cents per mile for that weight, for each mile traveled in Oregon.
Now, again, why that differentiation?
Okay. The
mileage?
No. The intent is to tax the gas truck, say, in the same weight class, the same amount as the diesel truck. Okay. The difference for the two fees is that the gas-powered truck has already paid its 7 cents per gallon gas tax.
Oh, okay.
Right. And then this is its basically additional charge beyond the 7 cents for its road user responsibility. And the diesel has not paid any gas tax, it's not paid any diesel fuel tax, it just pays this weight mile fee.
Excuse me, it doesn't pay any diesel fuel tax at the pump?
No,
it stops to pay.
No, not for the state.
So a diesel $78,000 pound truck is paying about I think they get about 4 miles the gallon, isn't that what they get?
I don't know.
About a penny a mile.
Okay. If I may repeat that for Senator Jernstedt, since he was asking a question about this earlier. We were looking at page 6, table 2, the weight mile fees for gas and diesel vehicles, trucks.
I just told her that I expected her to be able to
She can.
But anyway, though, if you'll notice that those weight mile fees are different for each weight class, depending on the type of vehicle. And the reason is that the gas vehicle has already paid a 7-cent gas tax, and the diesel vehicle has not,
right,
with the intent that the gas tax plus the weight mile for the lower weight mile for the gas powered truck will equal the weight mile fee for the diesel vehicle that has not paid any prior diesel fuel tax.
Do you have any indication just from of an increase in the use of diesel as far as automobiles are concerned?
Well, the weight mile collections have increased. I can't tell you whether it's because they're running more miles in Oregon or because they're running heavier trucks, the same miles,
some
combination.
Maybe this came up while I was out there, but how does the state keep track of the individual automobile diesel?
Right, they either have to pay at the pump or report to the Division of Motor Vehicles and pay annually. If they're paying at the pump, of course, you have an accounting there. If they're not,
Is there a law in the books that says there'll be so much diesel tax? I know we have.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, not only do they have the option of paying at the pump, but if they pay all at the pump, they still have to make a yearly report on their usage form saying that they did not indeed use any diesel for road travel that was not taxed. I drive a diesel car.
You're an expert on that. I think that explains that.
A lot of farmers get upset too because they take care of all this stuff and then they still get these forms.
Says you have to fill them out anyway.
And but they have to fill them out anyway. And I think they just went to even quarterly on those that didn't use it much for if you're in. Were at one time using it and you stopped or something. This one guy still having to file quarterly reports, whereas he used to be able to file an annual report, just telling him he's not doing it. And now they're requiring him to tell him he's not doing it quarterly instead of annually, and it makes him mad.
I think if they're under 8,000 pounds, that they only have to do it annually, quarterly if it's more than that. But from the weight mile revenue, almost 95% of it comes from the table B on the diesel vehicle. Only about 5% comes from table A on the gas powered truck. In addition to those rates, you have on that next page the flat fee rates, again gas and diesel, for the same reason. So that if you have a truck that weighs under 18,000 pounds, you can pay this flat fee one time annually rather than having to keep track of your miles and pay on that basis. I assume that the reason for having the flat fee is just because some users don't keep track of their mileage, but some mix their use of their vehicle between private use and their business use, and they don't have to keep track of their miles for either purpose that way. But these tables are based upon some average mileage rates for these various weight classes, so that if you travel that average mileage rate or average miles per year and paid the flat fee table, you would be paying the same amount as though you were paying from the other table. But again, that's only on the averages. If you're above or below the average, then that's going to differ.
But sometimes if you're below average, it's worth it just to pay it and have it over.
Pay the flat fee, yes.
Worry about it.
Right. There's also some flat fees like for log and dump trucks, again based upon an average annual mileage to be comparable to what they would pay from the other schedules. But it is just an annual flat fee based on weight. Okay, that's pretty much the weight and mile tax.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Monroe.
Can we get back to table one for a second? You went through the fuel tax and the weight mile, but you didn't get down to the license and registration.
That's where I'm at now.
Oh, you're going to talk about that now?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
Yeah, that's the third largest, raising about $99 million for this current biennium. That comes primarily from, again, just all of the registration and license fees collected by the Motor Vehicles Division. The registration or license fee for automobiles is still $20 per biennium or $10 per year. The driver's license is $9 per year for 4 years. But I was a little bit surprised to find out that $9 isn't all highway fund money. $4 of that goes for other uses, $2 to the state accident fund and $2 for driver education. So even though the road user, once his driver's license, has to pay the $9, only $5 is really the license fee in effect. So that's some money that gets transferred out that is still collected from the highway user, though.
That driver's ed money appropriated to the schools somehow?
Goes to the Department of Education.
For the administering of driver's education?
Yeah, then it goes, some of it, I think, then goes to the schools, too.
It goes in a separate route.
But does any of it get to the school?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they get, I think, $50 for every student that takes driver's ed.
Anywhere where you see driver's ed training taking place, that arises from this fund. That's why it's handled separately. Correct me if I'm wrong, Rod, but the local taxpayers do not support a part of this program.
Well, you mean driver's ed?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, driver's ed is also, the fees from the licensing doesn't cover the whole cost. It only covers part of the cost. So local property taxpayers do pay some, school boards budget that and make that determination. That's why, for example, when schools get into budgetary problems,
driver's ed
gets cut out because it is partly supported by property taxes.
They charge a fee to the kids sometimes, too.
Yeah, sometimes that's done. You know, there's different ways of doing it. But there is some subsidy, and I believe it's $50 per student subsidy.
In other words, this is not enough to cover it.
No, it just helps.
Mr. Chairman, Steve, if you go over again the percentage of the $10 license, where it goes?
Oh, the $9 license fee?
Yeah.
$2 goes to the state accident fund. $2 for driver's education. And the $5 goes for highway.
That goes to SAIF? Or?
I don't know if that's a separate fund or not.
Well, I guess there is a program. What is there? There's a medical program to help people who are in automobile accidents or something. It seems like I remember. Where does that money go?
I don't know.
Yeah. State accident insurance fund, but you know what all
Isn't there a
what
program
it's used
that,
for from
that,
there,
that
I don't know.
Pays for indigent injuries, people, burials, and I think it's for it buries people that you don't know who they are and all that kind of stuff.
Right. That's right.
I think it is, but that seems like an awful lot of money to pay for.
I don't know how much is collected for that offhand.
Hmm.
Perhaps there's some limits too in terms of what's goes into the fund from that source.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, can we ask for additional information on that very point as to how much that total amount is that's raised and exactly where it's spent, how it's used?
So that license is good for what, 4 years too?
Yes.
Get down to a yearly basis, it doesn't
much. You're only getting 1/4
right.
But licensed every year.
But it's the pot is $100 million biennially, isn't it?
Well, a lot of that would be from truck licenses, you know, which are based upon weight. That's not all auto and driver's license. You know, the $9 is a small part of that, is my guess.
What percentage of the total license fee would you estimate that to be?
Oh, I wouldn't want to guess at that right now.
See, we have our greedy eyes on
things. Mr. Chairman?
Senator Monroe?
Another question I have is, what percentage of the total revenue from licenses and registrations is borne by what might be called, you know, private automobiles, private drivers versus commercial? The truckers licenses and license fees and so on. Do you have any breakdown on that?
No, I don't. Are you going to cover the cost responsibility study that's coming?
No. Oh, well, coming, not today.
Yeah.
In effect.
But that will.
Yes, that will have some
that
information.
That should give us
too.
The most current data.
I guess that's
possible.
What I'm getting toward is I want to know the total percentage comparative data of what the commercial vehicles are paying total, including registration and license, versus the total that the private automobiles are paying. And then, of course, I want to compare that
sure.
with the latest information on wear and tear on our highways and see who's paying their fair share.
I would suggest that we wait for the cost responsibility study to go into that.
That's the question we asked last session, and people said, and that's why there is a cost responsibility study that's coming.
There's some other minor revenue sources. Interest has been a fairly important one this biennium. There's some bridge tolls, property sales, et cetera, that is generated within the department or the highway division.